vision, and we present to you the gospel of Jesus Christ in art, sermon, and song. The story of the mad Magdalena and the miracle in her life, or the exorcist and the story behind it. In Mark 16, verses 9 and 10. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. They, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them, as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Notice again verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. The story of the mad Magdalena and the miracle in her life. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this great refuge from the unrighteousness of this world, for this house of God, for this place to pray. We are so grateful that we can come to this holy altar where so many, many have found deliverance, where so many have found healing, they have found freedom from fear. We pray for those that have come to this sheepfold that has an open door policy, where anyone, whoever they are, can come under the shadow of the shepherd's care and hear the word of God. Lord, our pastor has not made out a list of hundreds of things that people must do to qualify to worship at this altar, but has flamed through the air with his zeal and compassion for souls, as it were letters of flame, whosoever will may come. And Lord, from all walks of life, rich and poor, they have come to bow at this altar. We are so thankful for that great Christian spirit. And Lord, because of this, there are still some in the congregation, those connected with this great spiritual family, that are still in the throes of spiritual struggle, the different degrees of affliction. Set them free, I pray. For we do not come, Lord, to entertain, but we come to lift up thy name. And I pray, O God, not to be heard of man, but to be heard in heaven. For Jesus said, Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it thee. And I ask for complete deliverance for each one that is here, that hears the sound of my voice. Oh, Jesus, pleading the blood and binding every opposing spirit and breaking all the powers of hell in Jesus' name, I pray that the influence of this service will go beyond this holy hour and will have influence into the family circle that is not here. Loved ones, cousins, neighbors. Oh, may the victories of the past be multiplied. Now, Lord, with humble hearts, we pray for thy Holy Spirit to come and anoint each heart to receive thy word. Because we deal with such a delicate subject, I bind every spirit of fear that no one may be alarmed or frightened, but that instead the opposite will be the case, and they will feel a safety in Jesus, they've never known. One more thing we pray, Lord, and that is you'll stand among the candlesticks tonight and make thy presence felt. Make thy presence manifest. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Currently throughout the country, men are asking strange questions, such as, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Well, that is a matter of semantics. For to say Christian can mean so many things. I will answer that question for you, but either way I answer it, it must be qualified. Don't you see? For there are many that call themselves Christians that have not been born again. You say to many people, are you a Christian? And they say, why, of course I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. And for those that are religious and Christian by philosophy, they can be demon-possessed. For those that are born-again Christians that are living an overcoming life with Christ in, it is laudable and laughable to think that the blood of Jesus Christ would be so weak and the presence of the Lord dwelling within that he would co-occupy the human temple with an evil spirit. So keep your head screwed on right. It'll be a help to you. There is, however, from time to time, those that come into the congregation and they seem to go through the process of a Christian experience. They claim to have an experience with Christ. But when you stand back and look upon their life, they never have the fruit of the Spirit. Their life is constantly beset by fear, defeat, uncleanness, uncontrollable temper, uncontrollable appetite. There are some of those that never live the overcoming life that do have spiritual problems that are deep-rooted. And we do not judge these cases openly. And we make a clear retreat from anything like a three-ring circus. But you would be surprised how many times at this altar or in the prayer room, people that have come out of the degradation of sin and have just knelt and accepted Christ as Savior have felt something go from their life. Some testify that they for years heard voices, but they didn't understand. And when Christ came in, evil spirits moved out. It is a delicate question that is raging widespread across the land. The movie industry is making billions off of the question of demon possession. And tonight we want to clarify some of these points. We cannot cover them all because the question is so vast. But if you would look back through time to the time of Christ, and if you can, look into a wine shop where one of the waitresses is named Mary. It is a wine shop in Magdala at the edge of the Sea of Tiberias. And there, the trade routes split, going east and west, north and south. It had the reputation of being the most sinful and wicked of all of the villages in that area. For the inns were brothels and wine shops to entertain the traveling men. And men are much the same today as they were back then. As in the wine shops, the maidens serve the men. And tradition says that Mary Magdalena was famous all the way from the shops of Cairo and Memphis and Egypt up to Samarkand to the northeast. For the traveling man told the story. And her name was a byword. And it was this Mary that made the little village remembered in history. Had it not been for her and the miracle that happened there, most of you would never have heard of Magdala. But tradition says, and you can't hang everything on history and tradition. I will always believe what the Bible has to say, however. They say that drunken men in the wine shops of Egypt, would tell the story about the beautiful Mary with her long reddish-black hair, who was the most beautiful lady in all the East, and loved the party spirit and the merry laughter of the wine shop. But then they would say, when you sit with her at the table, she steals your heart in a moment. You've never seen such beauty. But then suddenly her eyes dilate, and her lips begin to quiver, and her face goes through a metamorphosis. She'll open her mouth and scream, and her face will look more serpentine than human. The traveling man said that years later you would have nightmares and wake up in a cold sweat, dreaming of the horrible moment when Mary went through her metamorphosis and turned from beauty into madness. And tradition and history has gone so far as to name the name of the seven devils. Interpret it as you will. The Bible makes it very clear that Mary had a haunted heart. History says this of her. She had a demon of selfishness and cared for no one else. Everything was a driving passion to get what she wanted in the way of dress and fashion and entertainment. She had a demon of vanity. She was the proudest lady in all the East. She held her head high, an arrogance and pride that few movie stars would know today. She had a demon of folly, and folly always effaces the fairness of any woman. One of the worst, tradition says, was a demon of loneliness. She could be in a crowd, she could be with her family, and be haunted with a gnawing loneliness second to none. And I find a little pity in my heart for those that are lonely and can't feel the love of a world full of people willing to extend it. Then she had a demon of ignorance. It seemed like something drove her until she had no desire for knowledge of any kind. It was an empty head and a haunted heart. Then she had a demon of lust and passion, till she was driven to the lowest and most debased types of sensual sins. And seven, tradition says that she had a demon of insanity. She was rational most of the time, but suddenly, with a jerking and a twisting, she would lose touch from reality, and her face would twist. And like a strange seizure, she would go as mad as a mad dog, and be that way sometimes for 30 minutes, sometimes for hours. And then suddenly it would pass and she would be sane again. I know not about all that. I just quote tradition and history for you because I personally find it interesting. One thing I know for sure, that she had seven devils in her. And the Bible doesn't give a lot of information about her. How did she develop a haunted heart? How did she get in such a deplorable situation? We know not. But I can look back over the years and almost picture a wine shop in Magdala, when the bartender gives a cry and says, "Mary Magdalene, hurry, there's a stranger coming through. Mary Magdalene, go, do what you're trained to do." I can see her dark eyes flashing as she runs into the street. Then I hear the demon screaming as she falls at Jesus' feet. But she met a man that day on the dusty road of Magdala that had love instead of lust in his eye, had heaven instead of hell in his heart, and she would never, never be the same again. Though she was shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, one touch from Jesus, and Mary Magdalene would never be the same.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, there thou'st touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And
that is greater and stronger than all the powers of darkness, greater than all the demons of hell and all of the evil spirits. Now, if you make a Bible study of what the Bible says of evil spirits, you will find that the vast knowledge of the Bible, what the Bible gives to say, goes beyond most people's expectations. But it is also true of the rites of exorcism. And the word comes from exercise, that is to be distinguished between exercise, which is the moving of the muscles. But to exercise comes from two Greek words, where the first ex, which means cast or out, and the second is an oath, to cast out by an oath. When Abraham went into Egypt, you'll find in the book of Genesis that the Pharaoh of Egypt was troubled by an evil spirit. And Abraham laid his hands upon the Pharaoh and blessed him in the name of the Lord. And the evil spirit departed from the Pharaoh of Egypt. Way back there, the art of exorcising evil spirits or casting them out in the name of the Lord was known. And when Paul went on his missionary journey, to their amazement, the practice had gone beyond by other people, and there were those that were not known to the apostles that were practicing exorcism in the name of Jesus. And it is not a new situation, though many people have asked what the word means and what it's all about. It is as old, don't you see, as the history of man and people that get involved in evil spirits. Recently there's been much attention given to it, because a priest in the East practiced it on a teenage girl who started having seizures when she was at the age of 3. About 4 or 5 years ago, Yateev Dean, who was a Christian writer and writes for Zondervan, recommended the book The Exorcist to my reading. I do not necessarily recommend that book. I inquired before I read it. I have read much in this field. I like to know just what I read. And I do not like to read books that deal with uncleanness and in vocabulary. I've talked to a number of men, even ministers from different denominations and our own, on the pro and con of the movie called The Exorcist that was based upon the book. It is filled with filth and dirty language. Billy Graham said he would not see it. He would be afraid to see it. Billy Graham testified that across America, hundreds have developed severe spiritual problems when they saw the movie. One psychiatrist in Chicago said that he was currently treating 7 people that lost touch of reality as they went to see the movie. Therefore, I do not recommend either the book or the movie to you. On the other hand, I recently preached in another denomination for a minister who had taken his wife and deacons and leaders of the church to see the movie Exorcist. I said, "What would you say of it?" He said, "I think every preacher should see it." He said, "It will make you believe in demons." He said, "I think probably every mature Christian should see it, but no one else should see it." Well, that was a different interpretation. He said, "Anyone that wasn't mature in Christ could be destroyed by seeing that movie for the traumatic shock." Well, we live in a mature age where a lot of things are spoken openly, but I think hell tries in subtle ways to debase the gospel and the cross. And the movie deal with 2 priests trying to practice the ancient rites of exorcism, and they have changed the sex from the real experience in the book in the movie. But in this, it shows some most obscene things, some that you could hardly mention publicly. But it shows seizures, some connected with the filming. I totally persuaded even Hollywood stars that the actors in the case actually had demon seizures, and it's the filming of the real thing. Those that witnessed it, the filming, said that some power came over those that were acting. And they are persuading that it wasn't human ability or human acting, but demons were glad for a chance to become Hollywood stars. I really believe that. I am so glad for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is a book that you might find interesting. It's called Exorcism. The cover says, "I command you, every evil spirit, in the name of God, the Father Almighty, that harming no one, you depart and return to the place appointed you, there to remain forever." Did you know that the Catholic saints, the Catholic priests, the Russian Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, all of Orthodoxy, along with the Church of England, all of their priests and seminaries have to study the right word patterns, and how to deal with those that are tormented with fear, oppression, uncleanness. And for years and years, every seminary of that type dealt with this to some extent. It was practiced through the Dark Ages. With the age of cynicism, skepticism, and modernism, it was laid aside. And while still the seminaries of those backgrounds taught them, most of the people went through it looked upon it as something that was superstitious in the Dark Ages. However, the last few years, some strange things have been taking place in America. And those areas of thought have changed their mind about it and decided it was time to resurrect those rites that had been laid aside. And now, currently, you can scarcely read the newspaper for a week, but what you find, some testimonial that one of these priests have gone someplace and practiced exorcism or casting demons out of people. Well, Satan likes to distort the pond, and he only needs one stick to stir up a muddy pond. Well, for you that have been in the full gospel for any length of time, you are well acquainted with the power of Jesus Christ in deliverance. Hallelujah. And I am glad that I got acquainted with the spirit world, holy and evil, at an early age. And there's nothing that Satan can throw against me that will cause me fear. the power of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, God's Son, is sovereign over every spirit. And I am glad to know that he will keep you. And no evil spirit can come in you if you are in Christ and under the blood and trust your life in his keeping. However, we have had a revival in the last few years on a secular scale of demon possession. It is everywhere. It is so common. In fact, you can go to any bookstore and find books upon books upon books on realm. Have you heard of Hayakawa's prophecy? Mr. Hayakawa, head of the State Department of Education in California, often considered to be the greatest educator in the United States, said several years ago, "I predict that America is going to have a revival of witchcraft, demon possession, and deep emotional problems. I base it on several things. One, the dope problem, for we are reviving the old arts of sorcery. Sorcery was spiritual experience induced by intoxicants or dope. His prophecy in that field has come to pass. We have hundreds of thousands of teenagers that were putting the needle in the arm, but involved in witchcraft and devil worship. They found they no longer need the expensive heroin or dope to shoot in their veins, but now they can do a devil chant and go into a trance and hallucinate and have weird visions and see psychedelics. We've got teenagers probably in every city in America of any size that are as mad as the Magdalena." Hayakawa went on to say, "I predict that we will have a great revival of witchcraft." For he said, "When I was a boy, a witch was something horrible." Yes, I know when Sister Foster and I were small, it was common knowledge in our little hometown that the Humasovels and Mary Franklin practiced witchcraft on the dark of the moon and went out on a ridge and went through strange rites. And when we passed their house, we always crossed the other side of the street in childish fear. It is true that they all died in mental institutions. But you know, only here and there wasn't much said about it. In the Salem witch burnings, they obeyed Deuteronomy chapter 18, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." And they got nearly all the witches and warlocks and a lot that weren't. And it became a blood killing, an excuse for killing, and they falsely accused many people and put to death hundreds of people that weren't practicing witchcraft. But it's true they exterminated most of those that practiced that rite. But always in the history of man, there have been people that practiced these things, you see. But now, Mr. Hayakawa said, the television is the strongest medium known to man. And you ask me what is causing the teenage problems, and I will point to television more than anything else. And this man, not speaking religiously at all, he's an Oriental, and I don't, to my knowledge, don't even know that he has any Christian persuasion. He was speaking as an educator. He said, what goes into the mind will produce the philosophy of life. And he made a point that really stuck with me. He said, look at the spoof shows and the family shows, the monsters, the witchcraft shows on television. You know, they're the fun shows. And, you know, the genie, a beautiful lady with the midriff coming out. And then the most charming Samantha, that with a switch of her nose can do the most charming and lovely thing. And that's number one, family entertainment. And I thought about that, and shortly after that, my smallest daughter said, "Daddy, can you really become a witch like that and do those things?" It makes you think a little bit. And Hayakawa said 5 years ago, As a result of this, this generation from the cradle up that has seen beautiful witches like Samantha, they will not look upon witchcraft as something to retreat from, but something to explore and something attractive. Oh, Satan, with his deceit, has been doing that for so many years, don't you see? And Hayakawa prophecy has come to pass. And now there are hundreds and hundreds of books on witchcraft and the occult in every bookstore, you see, across America. And people are reading it. And it's the number one point of interest in the world today. But also, along with it, every place you turn, you find that people are having problems. And people are having deep emotional problems where they didn't before. Oh, yes, the church must, absolutely must, be awake to this. Four times you read the word sorcery in the book of Revelation, and Mr. Seitz, who wrote the great book on the apocalypse 100 years ago, predicted clearly there is going to be a revival of demon oppression, demon possession, and witchcraft and sorcery in the last days. It is clearly a sign when under the Antichrist they repented not of their murders, their adulteries, and their sorceries. His prediction also is upon us. And if Jesus tarries...
I came down the aisle and tried to pray. It was tight in there, and the sweat rolled down my spine. I prayed for 10 minutes. No relief. I prayed for another 10, and the people were terrified. I prayed, and while I was praying, I heard Levi Larson saying, "You can pray all day. You've got to cast demons out." I went to the front of the church, and the people were sitting still there. They had, some of them had prayed, but most of them sat, just like you're sitting now. And I said, this is a demon activity. I'm going to cast it out. Before I do, you may leave if you want to. This was no science show. I have no time for three-ring circuses in the work of God. I like to deal with these things if I ever have to in private with the pastor and mature saints. It's nothing for the eye to behold. And I'd be happy if I never had another confrontation or assignment like this. For there's something so slimy about Satan. You ever have a confrontation, you'll thank God for the Holy Ghost and the Word. I'll tell you, I nearly stampeded those people. It was no sideshow. And I've seen these pseudo things, you know. Now I'm going to cast this demon out. Close your eyes, folks, and close your eyes. Let this demon come into you. And most of you have seen some of that stuff. It's no wonder some people laugh at the work of God, how it's been abused. And I tell you, every deacon, every person in that church, everyone, in fact, in that church stampeded for the back door. Assembly of God folks, church folks, visitors and all. And my wife was in the nursery with a baby, and the pastor and I were the only ones that stayed. I mean, they cut out and kept going. And I didn't know if they'd come back the next night. So when the last one left, the lady became tranquil and went back, and I knew she wouldn't leave. She laid back on the back bench and began to riot. I'll tell you, I was scared to death myself. But I knew it was something God had given me to do. I sat behind her and said, "Don't be frightened. I'm going to cast this demon out." And I did the best I could. I said, "Your demon leave in Jesus' name." And it left like that. She slumped and started to whimper. You know how it came? Criticism. And I'll never forget that. She criticized every pastor, every minister, every church, every person of God in that town. And that's what opened the gate. Any permanence. And let me assure you, be careful when you criticize anybody. I mean, don't criticize in the first place. If somebody has a fault, cover with the blood and cover with prayer. And I really believe there are people in our churches across the land that have destroyed churches, absolutely destroyed churches, and ruined the kingdom of heaven because they didn't realize it, but they'd have a seizure inside, and they couldn't stand anybody doing anything for God. They criticized and cut. I've learned something by every confrontation I had. I had another and another, and suddenly I was overseas. God had prepared me for that. And the first service I was in, a lady came in off the street. Her daughter were all prostitutes. Her son were all thieves. And she had a demon manifestation and blasphemed God in the Chinese tongue with four-letter words, urinated on the floor, and made a scene you couldn't possibly preach above it. He was either quit to deal with it or went down and cast the thing out. And traveling around the world, I have stories that I wouldn't even care to relate to you. Oh, I'm so glad that God didn't call me to preach on demons, but to preach on the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that this church is filled with men of God. You have a pastor full of the Holy Ghost. There are men of God here. And if any of you have ever been contemplated suicide, you've dabbled with Ouija boards, you've been reading the horoscope, you've been to witchcraft, you've taken dope, or you've read a lot of, or even a few unclean books given to unclean thinking, and if you have sudden emotional changes, you know, until you go into deep depression, there is temptation, then there is transgression, then you see there is the trespass where finally you have constant harassment, then you go a step lower to oppression, and you can only by the deception or the seducing of your will come to a place where you are demon possessed. There is the steps of dehumanizing. The Satans come with deception. Then they come with depravity. Then they come with depression, degeneration, dehumanization. It's always the case. People that are demon-possessed are always dehumanized. Oh, they'll be good for a while, but suddenly, like they have a seizure, they will just go into something unclean. Now, there are some people that are drunkards. They just drink too much, and they get drunk. But there are others that have a demon activity. It's a seizure. They can go for a month without taking a drink. And all at once, they go mad. They go crazy. They have to have a drink. And there are some of these people that will never be delivered by prayer. You have to inquire and deal with them and cast that demon a drink out. I'm expecting as a result of tonight to have some great victory. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. After this song, I want another make a couple of more remarks, and then we're going to have prayer.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But this one thing I do know, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. About him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I know you've got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your skies are dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true, and everything he's promised, he will do it for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Now, in just a minute, we're going to have prayer. I don't want anyone to be frightened, because there's power in the blood, and Jesus is the answer. We have the good news that the Master of the Magdalena is here tonight. And I'm not one to call people out of the congregation. One lady said, which night are you going to call them out? Which night are you going to call them out? I said, lady, I wouldn't give you that much attention during God's valuable time. And there are some that have this special ministry. I'm not knocking that. But if God reveal you to me something about you, I'll do you the common courtesy of coming in private and telling you about it. And I don't go for soothsaying, pseudo preaching of the gospel. I have to give account on the judgment day, you see. And in one meeting, you know, man, you could tell it was phony. And he is soothsaying, act real spiritual. And, not you, but you. You stand up now. Yes, the Lord's showing me. You've been through some hard places. You've been through some trials. You've been through some real hard places. But I see that things are going to get better for you. You're going to have some blessing now. And this dear lady, oh, she got so blessed. Why? Hogwash. That would fit anybody in the kingdom of heaven. I would have been impressed. He said, you down here. Yeah, not you, but the man that's bald. Yeah, the Lord just revealed to me you have Playboy magazines in your toolbox. And if you don't get rid of them, they're going to destroy your marriage and your home. God just showed it to me. You see. But no one might show up the next service. But I have had that happen to me. And on a Sunday morning, I had an experience. I turned sideways and I looked back, and two leading men in the church were eaten away with worms. It just looked like their flesh was full of worms. And it shook me. I was trying to preach Sunday morning. And I didn't even want to look their way. But I said, folks, I'm having the most unusual experience I've ever had in my life. God just showed me that there are a couple of men in this church that are eaten away as it were with worms. And you've got dirty magazines hidden in your toolbox. And you're unclean and you're hypocrites. You're not right with God. God just opened to me. So I said, I won't even look your way. But you know right now that God revealed it to me. I could see the cover of the magazine. When I opened that service, those two men that hadn't been right with God for 5 years came and wept on a Sunday morning and got right with God. In a Utah camp, a boy had a confrontation. Demons spoke through him. Dr. Smith of Evangelist College was his counselor. He will confirm this story. We cast out 6 devils. I wasn't satisfied. He prayed all week. The last night he went into a demon trance of lust. His eyes fastened in a lust stare on some young ladies from the Northwest College. His name was Rick. Rick Hobbs. I dealt with him, and we dealt with him until Friday night. Most had gone. Couldn't dislodge it. You could feel it, but it was there. And I prayed, oh God, what is the answer? I said, Rick, do you have some dirty magazines at home? He said, how did you know? I said, I didn't, but I'm just praying that God will get us to the root of the problem. Rick, when he was 12, his folks, divorced and separated, fell across pornography, which is one of the worst things for demons to practice. You can't read that stuff without a blow in your mind, gentlemen or ladies. Talk about an alcoholic. Rick was hooked. He heard voices. He had seizures. He lived in that realm. From the time he was 12 to the time he was 17, he spent everything he could get on pornography. He had his bed stacked underneath the bed, clear to the spring, clear to the wall with pornography. He had his closet stacked from the floor to the ceiling with pornography. He had his wall plastered with pornography. I said, what does your mother think about that? Oh, she's got her own hang-up. She could care less. I said, Rick, you will never be free unless you go home and burn every one of them and never buy another one. And we've got some people in this church tonight that have some problem because you think you can read anything that comes across your way and still be a Christian. And then you wonder why you have so much problem. Now, I know that. And I know it by the Holy Ghost. I quit reading the book Hawaii. Fantastic book, because I have better things to do with my mind than go across filth. And this is a rather stern moment by the Holy Ghost. I said, Rick, don't even look at them. Destroy them. He destroyed them. I came back in the area and I looked in a revival. Could it be? I went back and said, Rick, is that you? The glassy, haunting stare was gone from his eyes. He had his hair cut. He was dressed up. He said, yes, it's me, Brother Crowder, and I'm so glad to see you. He said, when I burned the last magazine, something left. And he said, I didn't know you could be so happy. I was so ripped up inside and heard voices and driven, and I raped in my mind every woman ever saw on the street. couldn't sleep at night for evil thoughts and communication. But he said, the last 3 months have been the most terrific months. I've just loved Jesus so much. And I'm clean and pure. Oh, listen. There's nothing more beautiful than deliverance in Jesus Christ. We've had experiences like this across the land. I exhort this church as a congregation to give yourself to prayer and reading the Word of God, and pray that Sunday after Sunday, service after service, those of Fort Worth that are defeated by Satan will come by the Master of the Magdalena, who on that morning of the resurrection, though she had howled 7 devils and had a haunted heart, Jesus chose her as the first witness of the resurrection and had a friend. And you have a friend too, and I want to open this altar to prayer. And if any of you need special prayer, just let Pastor Wilkinson and I know. And if we can be of help to you in deliverance, we will do so. Let us stand and come before the friend of the Mad Magdalena that found a miracle in her life. Let's come and be refilled of the Holy Ghost. Instead of haunting devils in her heart, let's have the Holy Ghost in the temple.
All the world to me, I honor and adore my precious Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings, His Royal Majesty. That's why I love Him. He answers when I pray, wipes all my tears away, and when I fall and fail, He over all prevails. He is the King of Kings, His Royal Majesty. That's why I love Him. Keep from singing praises to Him, for He alone has set me free. My heart's overflowing with praises to Him. Consider what He's done for me. Just keep your eyes on me. Look forward to the day when we'll be called away. It will be worth it all to hear the trumpet call. That's why I love Him. My heart's overflowing with praises to Him. Consider what He's done for me. Don't let your faith grow dim. Just keep your eyes on Him. Look forward to the day when we'll be called away. It will be worth it all to hear the trumpet call. That's why I love Thee. The blood that Jesus shed for me weighed down on Calvary. The blood, it gives me strength from day gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and it calms my fears. And the same blood dries all my tears. The blood, it gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. But highest mountain, and it goes to the lowest valley. The blood, it gives me strength from day. And won the victory.